Wisconsin Badgers sit atop the Big Ten. A big win the other night over Penn State. They smoked them in the second half, and they just keep it rolling. Zach Bohannon coming up in just a second.
Air it out on the Fan.
Got the winter blues? Beat it with some great accessories from Cellcom. When you buy two, you'll get one free, up to a $40 value. Stop in to see the selection today. Plenty of clouds, a chance of flurries, and near 36 today. We'll keep the clouds around, and possible flurries tonight, 25 for your low. Maybe regression to the mean in terms of the temperatures. We've been having a heat wave here for January in Wisconsin. It's been pretty warm.
I thought it was like March the other day when I walked out of here. It was so warm out.
Yeah, seriously, it's felt like spring.
Yep.
And then yesterday you wake up and it's slush and snow and all that, but the Badgers in Madison are red hot. They keep things rolling, winning the games that they're supposed to win. And every Thursday at this time, we are joined by former University of Wisconsin men's basketball player Zach Bohannon. Zach, how are you this morning?
I am fantastic. I'm going to forever be tied as that regression to the mean guy now, aren't I?
Yep. Yeah, you are.
Yep. We reference it all the time. We refer to it.
We do. It's indeed. Good. It is. It's really good.
Hey, at least it's a backed by science and fact, and it's not what what's the new term called? Alternative fact?
Alternative fact.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So would momentum be an alternative fact then? Is that accurate?
I don't know. It depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to the statisticians or if you're talking to the sports journalists, it's all okay. About the perspective, right?
That's it. All right. Well, I want to ask you about something real quick. Not the current Badger team, but you know Sam Decker very well, and I saw Sam. I mean, hey, he's playing great. Had his first career start and dropped 30. He's putting up some big numbers now in his second year.
Had 15 last night as well in a loss to the Celtics. But
that's not what made the headlines. That's not what I saw on my Twitter feed. It was all about this heated exchange, Sam Decker and James Harden going at it. And I'm thinking back, I remember, like, Bo Ryan would get on people. He'd get on the players and get red in the face. And most of the time, people would keep their mouth shut and they'd just take it. Sam Decker never seemed to do that. It always seemed to be a two-way dialogue between Bo and Sam. Is that accurate? Is Sam like, when you come at Sam, he's going to go back at you?
Absolutely. No, and I don't know if you guys, I'm pretty sure you probably did. Any of you guys catch the Elite broadcast after the show on, or after the Big Ten game? Was it last night?
I didn't.
No, two nights ago, sorry.
I didn't see it, but I heard great things.
Yeah, so long story short is that they mentioned they had a clip on about Sam, and they were talking about Frank, and then they were talking about some of the other players, and then they came about Sam, and they talked about how Matt LaPay mentioned how he always got pulled early, and he kind of didn't necessarily do what Coach Ryan had always asked him to do. He was always a step behind or a step slow or whatnot. And Coach Guard, Ben at the time playing for, or Ben at the time when Sam was on the team was the assistant coach, obviously, and he called him a prima donna. And I think it was right, but yet it was kind of a lot. It was very telling about who Sam is as a person. Sam is kind of like me. He lives in a separate world. He knows that there's certain things that you can tell him that he's going to be like, no, what, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to be successful doing it that way at some point. It's just a matter of when. And it kind of got to that point during his Badger season, and I feel like even now in the NBA, it's kind of still come to fruit as well, where the first year was a struggle. Obviously, he had some injuries, and now he's finally starting to come into his own. He's going to be a long-term hell of a player in the NBA, just like Frank Kaminsky is. And I think that what you're referring to, that trait that he kind of bashes heads at times with, whether it's Coach Ryan or James Harden or whoever it may be, is what makes great, or what makes Sam so great and so successful, or what has made him great and made him so successful, is that he believes so much in his work and his own preparation that he knows that in the end he's going to find a way to get it done.
Well, from what I've seen, and I've only seen Houston play a handful of times and watched Sam play, it seems to me that they're not passing him the ball. You know, the only time he gets it is when he goes and gets it, either via rebound or whatever, but it doesn't look like they're looking to him very often, and I'm sure that probably frustrates him a little bit.
Absolutely, and I think it would frustrate anyone, especially someone who knows their main tangible benefit to the team
exactly.
is to be a scoring threat and to attack the basket. But with that said, I think that's what makes, and I think some of the people, especially Coach Ryan, who have played or who have coached him, or even now James Harden and some of his teammates, understand that what makes Sam great is when he has that inner drive underneath him that people think that he's not going to do the things that he knows he can do. And it kind of bites at him, and they know when he's most not anger, but when he has that fire underneath him is when he's playing at his best. There's no different why his averages have substantially increased over the last few weeks than from the start of the season because of that anger that he's been able to let out.
That seems to be a common trait among great players in any sport. That
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. You challenge them or tell them they can't do something, and they do everything they can to show you that they can. Michael Jordan did it. Aaron Rodgers, just to name a couple. It seems like that is a common thread.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with you, and it's the greats have it. And even the greats who aren't necessarily in the top regard, I don't know if you can call Sam a great. Obviously, he's a great in the state of Wisconsin and what he brought to the table in high school and college. And he's going to be a good NBA player, but he probably won't ever probably be in the category of being a great NBA player like we're referring to. But it's still what makes them get to that level and get them to the next level that they're currently at, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Zach Bohannon here on The Fan. So, meanwhile, the Wisconsin Badgers have won 13 of 14. The only loss is a 66-55 loss at Purdue. So, they roll over Penn State the other night, as you would expect at the Kohl Center. But it was close in the first half, just a three-point deficit. And then they really turned things on defensively in the second half. Is that, like, you go into halftime, you're in a close game, you think it should be a bigger margin. Is that common to go in there and, like, really harp on that end of the court defense to really get you guys going?
I just think this team is so unique to begin with is that there's a lot of personalities and they sometimes not. And let me take a step back. I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. When we were playing in my senior year, the first Final Four team, we had tons of personalities and a lot of the same guys that we have on the team now were freshmen at the time. And the second year was when they finally came all those personalities together and were on the same page. And they didn't care about who scored, who got the acclaim at the end of the game. It was all about the win. And I think we're kind of reverting back to a lot of the selfishness that we're seeing in that first Final Four team is that they're still not totally on the same page. And I think that's why we're seeing lapses at times, whether it's in the first half like we saw against Penn State, where some of them kind of just did their own thing and just kind of wanted to get theirs, and then they kind of regrouped by Coach Gard in the locker room. And I guarantee you that there was a few choice words said to say, guys, what are we doing? This is not Wisconsin basketball. And they came out and showed it. And finally, and when they can come out and stay on the same page like they did in the second half against Penn State, you can see how dangerous of a team they are. But when you have the team of personalities and they play the selfish basketball, you see games like the North Carolinas or the Creightons or the Purdue, games that they are definitely on that talent level, but as long as they play up to their average or above average standard of team play, those teams are going to ultimately come out on top because they're going to be able to not only match Wisconsin from an athletic and from a skill standpoint, but they're also going to be able to take it at them from a team perspective.
Well, Penn State, the deficit was first half Wisconsin 36, Penn State 33. Penn State shot a red hot 52% in the first half. That fell to 27% in the second half. That's regression to the mean. Wisconsin 46, Penn State 22 over the final 20 minutes. So you saw a little decline there. Badgers turned it up defensively. I want to ask you about...
I thought you said you don't believe in regression to the mean.
No, I do. I buy it. I buy it. It's scientifically proven. It's just math.
Just like the Packers. I hate to throw the dart out there, but just like the Packers losing, they finally regressed to their mean after an 8-game winning streak.
I think Julio Jones happened. That's what I think about that.
All right. So just when those facts don't fit your universe, then they don't count.
I guess. I don't know. Sure. We'll go with that. So the other night, Marquette beats number one Villanova 74-72. It was a heck of a game to watch. And after the game, like court storming and field storming is such a topic these days. When is it okay? When is it not? I know Marquette was actually fined for storming the court the other night. I think it was like $5,000 or something like that. But the players were going absolutely nuts after the game, jumping up on the scorer's table, going crazy. Is there one game that sticks out in your memory, one team you were a part of where you knocked off a top team and it just felt better than the others? I guess it might be different for you because you played on, like, those teams, the top-ranked teams.
Yeah,
still.
You were the team.
No,
right?
Absolutely. And we were always on some of the games we lost, we were on the other end of it where those teams stormed the court when they beat us. So I definitely know from both sides of it how it feels. But with that said, I still think one of the greatest comebacks and one of the greatest games that we were a part of, I think Wisconsin instituted their ban as well in storming the court after they did against Ohio State in 2000, what year was it, 13 or 14, when Jordan Taylor went off from deep. They stormed the court that game, I believe, and I think ever since that, I might stand corrected, I'm not sure. I don't think they stormed the court, but the one game that sticks out where we were definitely one of those games that we came back was the Michigan game where Ben Bruss hit the half-court shot to force the game into overtime, and we knew once we had overtime, we were going to win. Obviously, that was at home, and they were ranked, but I think we were right up there, either unranked or ranked at the same level as they were. So it wasn't obviously a storm of the court type game, but that's the one that for sure sticks out in my mind, more so than the other ones where they stormed their courts when we played there and lost.
It was a heck of a night the other night for college basketball. With us,
yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you make of that, the three of the top four teams getting knocked off in the same night?
Look, it's just one of those things where the probabilities play out where all three of them lost at one point. They're all going to lose. We knew Kansas. We know actually from the entire season that there's no truly elite teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
There's no teams that's definitely going to just be able to run the table like the 38-0 Kentucky team did when they got to the Final Four a couple years ago.
And then
there's
what?
No teams that are just super dominant. Even Villanova, who's a great team and number one in the nation and defending national champs, people are forgetting how much they lost. And even a guy like just one player, like Archie Diacono, who was their heart and soul of the team, they lose him from the national championship team, and they're still, it's a big testament to their coach and to their program to be able to rise to that level even after the high of what they accomplished last year. And going down the line, if you look at Kansas just was in a trap game. They were playing on the road at West Virginia. They ended up having West Virginia ended up losing the previous two games, I believe, going into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they were desperate for a win. And as I said, Kansas, they beat Iowa State at Hilton. Kansas is one of the greatest stories in college basketball history. They're, going on number 13th conference championship? And they were doomed to lose a game at some point as well. So it's one of those things that was something that was going to happen, and just so happened that all three of those games happened on the same night.
I think I heard Kansas has lost at Morgantown 4 years in a row now, or the last four times they played there, so definitely a tough place
really?
To play. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, tough place to play for sure. Hey, Zach, great stuff as always. We will talk with you next Thursday.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
That's Zach Bohannon, former University of Wisconsin men's basketball player.
There may not be one dominant team, as he suggested, and I agree, but there is a collection of teams.
Like a handful.
Yeah, all in the same conference that I think you look at in the ACC. I mean, look how strong that conference is right now. North Carolina, Florida State, Notre Dame, Virginia. I mean, they haven't even mentioned Duke yet, and they're 15-5.
And they're going to turn it around.
But they are 5-6, 3-4, I think, in conference play.
Florida
ACC
State
is loaded.
Did you see the final?
3-4, pardon me.
What was the final for Florida State, Georgia Tech last night? Because they were getting boat raced in the first half. It was like 41-15 when I saw the score.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a crazy week of college basketball.
Well, Florida State is not interested in playing a whole lot of defense. They want to run as fast as you want to run. I mean, they will get up and down the floor with anybody, and they game in the 90s is where they probably want it.
Don't sleep on the Pac-12 either. If I had to take two teams right now, and I like Kentucky too. I know they lost the other night, but Malik Monk is something else. So is here.
Florida State lost big time to Georgia Tech, 78-56.
Yeah, they got smoked. Hmm. But Pac-12. UCLA and Arizona, two really good teams out west, so keep an eye on them as well. Meanwhile, we had Bucks GM John Hammond on Sportsline yesterday, and, paint a great picture. They're building an exciting brand of basketball, but last night, let's just say, was one of those hiccups, an ugly loss for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's aired out on the Fan.